likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
We're undergoing a crisis of leadership, not only in the nation, dear friends, dare I say, in the world. Dare I say in reality, actually, because that is the most rarest thing, the sweetest of sauce, the sweetest of sour barbecue sauce from McDonald's. I remember when I was a kid, I used to, like, don't get me wrong, barbecue sauce, sweet and sour sauce, lovely, wonderful things, great things, good and good for you, but I was a hot mustard man myself. There was something punishing about McDonald's hot mustard sauce with chicken McNuggets. I guess they can't call them chicken nuggets because it's not actual food. It's like space science food. So they have to call it McNuggets because they'd get sued by life and reality if they called it anything. But I was always a big chicken McNugget man. I like the shape. You remember when McDonald's came in the foam? Remember that? Remember when a Big Mac came in like a big foam tub, pretty much? I do. I remember that. I remember that a lot. And then the chicken McNuggets were in those cool boxes. I remember just like pulling out a fucking giant ass 20 piece being like, I'm set. This is my life. How about you? How about you? I was going to say yours and you. So I went, how about you? How about you? Leadership. Which, of course, when I talk about hot mustard sauce, when I talk about chicken McNuggets, when I talk about, micro machines, let's say, I'm really talking about leadership. And there's a crisis of leadership in all of our lives because as human beings, as peoples, native of the species, we instinctively look to leaders. It's a very human thing. It's what we do. That's why we have governments. That's why we have gods. Of course, because we want to know. We want that safety. We want that security to know that we don't have to do shit because mommy and daddy are on it, right? And barring that, when you become an actual person and you grow up and you see that nobody's driving the boat, you know, nobody's sailing the ship, you go outwardly and you look to others, you look to your leaders and you look to your governments and you look to your gods, etc., etc. And you look, of course, to a 20-piece chicken nuggets and fillet of fish. God damn, I want McDonald's right now. Just like that greasy, fucking skanky, like the aftertaste when you're like, I just had McDonald's. Oh my God, this taste is going to linger under my tongue for 3 weeks. It's just the best. It's just the McDonald's. The aftertaste of McDonald's just tastes like hooker sweat. Like, it's the greatest. Oh my God, Jesus. Oh, it's so filthy. All right. I'm sorry. I'm hard. How about you? Leadership. There is, a driving urge for leadership, and it's because it's the hardest thing you could find. It really is tremendously rare. I dare say that love is more commonly found than leadership, than true, honest to God leadership. And that's why, we have so many problems, because being a liar, being a con man, being a shyster, being a confidence man is so, so, so much easier than actually possessing true, honest to goodness leadership. That's why you get swindled all the time, because in your heart, you want to believe In your heart, you want to think, man, there's somebody out there who knows what they're doing. Or, man, I can trust this person, this politician who's telling me all this shit. They know what they're talking about, and I don't have to worry about a goddamn thing. I just check off his name, and he does all the heavy lifting. And people know this. And that's why they lie, because they know how desperately, how badly people want to be led. People are begging for it. It's the human thing. It is the human thing. That's why I think when we talk about all this, rebellions, revolutions, anarchy, blah, 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 it doesn't work. It doesn't work for human beings, because I believe in the core of our being, we want that structure and we want that leadership. Even back when nobody gave a fuck and there were no rules and you could legally eat children and stuff like that. If your child was misbehaving, you could just hurl it into a volcano or whatnot, and no one would be the wiser. Even then, we had our shaman and we had our tribal chieftains. Like, no matter how primitive and savage you want to get, the no rules, every man for himself, anarchy type deal has never worked, or it's never been palatable to how we operate. I don't know. I'm not a fucking history major or anything, but it makes sense to me. Which naturally brings us to football, because as you know, my precious Indianapolis Colts, they fired their head coach. They were not satisfied with his leadership. So they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a brief sip of some fig Thanksgiving coffee. Excuse me for a moment. Very strong cup I made for myself. Code word for I don't know how to make coffee. And it's a toss-up every single time. This is a little bit on the strong side. But anyway, they fired their coach and in the middle of the season. And they hired another coach. And this coach used to play for the Colts. And apparently, he was very good. I don't know this because I don't know anything, let alone anything about sports. But they did hire a new guy. He used to play for them. And he's never coached a pro game in his life. He's never coached a college game in his life. He was like a high school coach. He coached high school football. I'm pretty sure I could coach high school football. Really, they're just asking for somebody to show up and donate the time. You don't have to actually do anything, I believe, to coach high school football. I'm pretty confident I could coach middle school backgammon if you let me. It's just, how hard could it be? The moral of my story is no college experience, no pro experience. And look, you know I'm an expert on the gridiron, okay? You know I have my charts and my books here, you know, all over the place. Also, the edge I particularly possess when it comes to sports talk is right here. My heart. I feel things. I feel the game out. All right, that's what I do. That's what we do here. That's why you're here right now, to listen to my heart. And the heart wants what the heart wants, and the heart wants W's, right? And the Colts ain't getting much. Ain't getting many of those. So they fired their coach. They hired this guy. No NFL experience. But he played. He played and he was quite good. Now, I don't put a tremendous amount of stock in that. Some people do. I don't. Because I know that there is a tremendous difference between doing something and teaching someone how to do something, right? Example. I always go back to something Bret Hart said in an interview or whatnot. He was talking about I think it was Dean Malenko or something. And Dean Malenko was, at the time, he was working as like a trainer, one of the trainers in WWE. So he would like train the new kids or whatever, the new wrestlers on stuff. And he was like a coach. And Bret Hart was like, why did they hire Dean Malenko? Dean Malenko never, like, he's all right, but he was never, you know, one of the best in the business. He was never, you know, world champion or whatever. You know, first of all, I love Dean Malenko. I think Dean Malenko fucking rules. Back in WCW, I remember the shirt. Remember the Iceman Dean Malenko shirt? He just had like his eyes on the front, and then on the back it said like eyes like ice or something like that. I don't remember. But I thought it was a cool shirt. It sounds stupid. It kind of is stupid, but I just liked the way it looked. I liked the design of the shirt. But anyway, and he said that, and I couldn't disagree more, because just because you can do something doesn't mean you can teach it. You see, Michael Jordan is the best basketball player of all time. I don't think you'd find a lot of people who disagree with that. He's at least in the conversation. He owns the Charlotte Hornets, and they're terrible. They're awful, aren't they? So there you go. Well, if that's the case, then just take the best players, make them coaches, and you'll win all your games. They don't do that. You know why? Because it doesn't work. Because you don't need to have done something at the highest level to coach it efficiently, right? Everybody says Bill Belichick's like one of the best football coaches of all time. He didn't play football, did he? I don't know. I'm asking you. I don't think so. Anyway, he wasn't good if he did. So I never really jive with that whole why are you coaching? Just take the, you know, because then it would be easy. Just take best former players, make them coaches. Whoever's the best player, make them a coach, and you'll win every game. Obviously, you won't do that. That's why they don't, because these teams want money. And if they could win doing that, they would have already, and they haven't. So I'm right, is the moral of my story. So I don't buy the whole, well, he used to play and he was really good, so he'll be a good coach. Different skill set. Really, really different skill set. The things that you need to be a player or to perform at whatever it is you're doing are completely different than coaching another person. Because as a coach, you have to look at a person, objectively appraise them, find out what motivates them, find out how to, you're figuring out somebody like a puzzle. Right, like here's this individual with skills and talents and certain levels of whatever it is that they're doing, certain good habits, certain bad habits. Now, how do we cultivate that and make this player the best that he can be, or performer, or whatever it is that you're actually teaching somebody? And that is a completely different skill set than going out there and doing something. So I never bought that. I always hated that analogy. You know, it's right up there with the, what are you doing reviewing movies? You never made a movie in your life. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, so if you go to a restaurant and you order the lasagna, right? And they give you a plate full of centipedes. Well, you can't complain. You're not a cook. You can't make five-star lasagna. So scoop up a fork full of them centipedes and get to munching, right, dummy? So I never really bought that. But anyway, back to the matter at hand. The Colts won today. Their first game with this brand new coach. They threw him out there. I just know the score. It was like 25-20 or something. They beat the Raiders. Now, I wouldn't really throw a party about beating the Raiders. The Raiders called me and asked me if I wanted to be the head coach. I had to turn them down. Just the color scheme, you know what I mean? I wanted to liven things up, maybe put a little bit of pastel blue, but they weren't having that. So here we are. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's cool. It's great. But what I really love about this decision, and I love this no matter what, whether we would have lost, I'm not just saying this because they changed coaches, they hired this guy, and then we win the first game with him a couple of days later. I'm not saying it because of that. if the Colts would have lost 47-2, I'd still be loving this move. And I'm going to tell you why. Because some might say the worst a football team can be is a loser, right? I disagree. The worst thing a football team could be is boring, right? And this isn't boring. The entire NFL is like, what are they doing in Indianapolis? What's going on? Those guys are nuts. Yes. Personally, I love that. I like that a lot. Because we're bad and we've lost a bunch of games and we've done a lot of bonehead things, but we're crazy. You never know what we're going to do next. You know, we come out, we get shut out by the Jaguars. Then next game or so, we beat the Chiefs. Yeah, why not? It's fucking clown world. Okay, we'll do that. Sure. Next week, we're going to play the Eagles. We might beat the Eagles by 56 points. You just don't know. We're crazy here. We don't give the slightest of shits. We all know the rule. Because there's one rule for survival in life. When you boil things all down, right? That one rule, of course, is never pick a fight with a crazy person. Because they have nothing to lose. They don't care. Even if you win, you don't win. Right? And that's what the Colts are. The Colts are completely insane. The Colts, they come out, they tie their first game. The kicker misses a field goal, so they fire him immediately. They're like, okay, you're fired. Matt Ryan's 47 years old. He goes out there. He gets sacked 12 times. His offensive line just doesn't take the field. They just they're playing tiddlywinks while the other team is murdering the quarterback. And they're like, "Hey, Matt Ryan, go sit down. We're gonna bring in this guy who's never played a game before. Oh, what? We lost a couple of games. Fire the coach. Hire a coach with zero NFL experience, zero college experience. Why not? The Colts. By the time the season's over, they might fire the city. They might be the Hawaii Colts this time next week. It's on the table. You just don't know. They could take the field to a game in baseball uniforms. Everything is on the table with this team because they're nuts. I don't know about you. It's pretty exciting. It's pretty interesting. What will they do next? It's so great. It's like Batman, you know? You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts. Let's do it. I believe by the end, here's my sports prediction. And if this doesn't happen, it should. They should seriously consider it. They should change the name of the team from the Indianapolis Colts to the Indianapolis Crazy Horses. Because that would make perfect sense. Have you seen the Colts mascot? Go look at the Colts mascot right now. And you tell me he's contributing to society. So I love it. I've never been more interested in sports in my entire life because you just don't know what they're going to do. You just don't know. And it's amazing. At the beginning of the season, people were like, oh, the Colts, I think we're going to go to the playoffs, you know. At the very least, we'll go to the playoffs. Maybe we'll get like two games into the playoffs or so. Super Bowl, you know, it's possible. That's on the table, you know. We might make a Super Bowl appearance this year. Yeah. And then we're like, we beat the Raiders by 5 points, guys. Raiders. Ouch. Ouchamundo. But hey, it is what it is, and it's fun. It's certainly fun to watch, you know. Maybe it's not competent, maybe it's not pretty, maybe it's not good, and maybe you had to fire 9 guys to get there. But say what you will. Much like McDonald's hot mustard sauce, it might not be good, but it ain't boring. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 156. My heat, I forgot to turn my heat off. I'm sorry. If you're hearing the heat in the background, I don't even care. I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to let it ride. You know, I much like the Colts, I'm crazy. My professionalism just fluctuates. And right now, it's out the door. So I'm probably gonna be very upset when I listen to this back if I hear the heat in the background going off. But what can I say, man? I'm a wild one. I'm a rebel. Speaking of rebels, speaking of wild ones, speaking of loners, speaking of guys you just don't want to get mixed up with. Sitting directly to my left, looking cultivatedly crazy. Looking indisputably indisputable and unscrupulous. He is the man of the hour, the Tower of Power. He'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal. Count Dracula, what it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours, my friend. Sweep it. Good evening. It's very nice to be here today, Dave. Leadership is indeed an important part of life. I perish to think what would happen to this podcast if I were to stop leading it.
Oh boy. Dracula, look, you're many things. Tyrant, monster, lover, friend, and business associate. One thing you most certainly are not is a leader. I hate to break it to you.
I beg to differ, Dave. I ran a kingdom.
Yes, into the ground. And we all see how well Romania is doing on the world stage today in 2022. Actually, I believe they just discovered electric fans. So fair play to the Romanians. They'll have a cool summer. But okay, a nice breezy summer with their electric fans. So anyway, Count, let's change the subject as soon as possible before we offend a great deal of people. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, I guess. Ramping up for Thanksgiving, I think.
Oh, yeah. You're a big Thanksgiving head, huh?
Oh, yes, Dave. You know me. I love a good feast.
That reminds me, Count. Do you have any special traditions for Thanksgiving? Like, do you like to hunt anything in particular during the holidays? Have you ever sampled, let's just say, how to put this delicately, Native American cuisine?
Here and there, I think. It's a nice treat every now and again, Dave. Yes. To kind of, you know, tickle the palate with some different flavors of the blood.
All right, cool. So, yeah, Thanksgiving rules. I'm a big Thanksgiving fan. I love it because I don't think Thanksgiving gets a lot of love. Somebody's got to love it, and that someone shall be me. If you'll excuse me, I'll take a sip of my Thanksgiving coffee here, which is just getting colder and colder by the second. It's going to be a goddamn malt in a minute and a half. But yeah, Thanksgiving doesn't really get a lot of press. That's unfortunate. I think there should be more Thanksgiving movies. I can only think of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as a Thanksgiving movie. And I think that's, actually, hold on. Let's look this up. Because I'm not so overconfident as to think that I'm the end-all be-all when it comes to the cinema. So let's look up on Google. Most famous. That's different. Most famous Thanksgiving movies. What do you got? What do you got? Popular Thanksgiving movies. I'll just read it right off Google here. Friendsgiving. I don't know what that is. Turkey Hollow? I don't know. The Turkey Bowl. I don't know. Free Birds. I don't know. The Oath. Don't know. Never heard of it. Family Thanksgiving. Never heard of it. Lesbom. Oh boy. Okay. All right. So yeah. Let's just say Thanksgiving could use some love on the entertainment side. I mean, can we get like a Stanley Kubrick Thanksgiving film? Can we get some quality in here? Is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles the only? What's your Thanksgiving movie? Anything? Anybody got anything out there? No? Nobody? Let's just skip to Christmas. Nobody cares. All right, fine. Fuck off. We need Thanksgiving. Count, do you remember the Thanksgiving song we did? The Thanksgiving fucking jam we rocked a couple years ago? You don't. You don't, do you?
Sorry, Dave. I rock the mic so many times, I forget all of the things. I'm kind of like Snoop Dogg, you know? I mean everything.
Ah. I see. Right. Well, we did our Thanksgiving song in our old podcast, and it revolutionized the holiday, to be honest with you. It's never been the same since. So that's good. I do think it's an untapped market, though. There are no Thanksgiving Day songs. There are tons of Christmas songs. Like, if you were going to release a Christmas song right now in 2022, why even try? You're up against such stiff competition. But Thanksgiving? Nobody writes fucking Thanksgiving songs. So if you write and record a Thanksgiving song, a Thanksgiving jam, sorry, you're automatically one of the best Thanksgiving songs ever written because there've only been three. I can't name any, but I'm going to assume there've been some.
Dave, how about this? How about I just ask you a question and we can get on with the show?
That's a good idea.
It's time for Ask Dave. Where I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave. Any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
Like the Indianapolis Colts, Count. I'm crazy. And I'm ready.
Dave! They did another mini Sega Genesis console thingy from when you were a kid. And this one has some Sega CD games on it, including Night Trap, that awful game that you seem to love so much. Tell me, Dave, are you interested in checking it out?
I'm telling you, Count, Native American blood, it suits you. You're a little rowdy today. I like it. Yeah, I saw they did do another Sega Genesis mini. Look, anyone who's listened to me speak for more than 5 minutes will know I'm all about nostalgia. It's all I have. And the only thing that keeps me from the end of a rope is thinking about cool shit in the past. Because God knows the present ain't doing me any favors. And the future, not looking good. So, I like to think about times gone by when the world was simple, when life was fun. And you would think I'd be all about these little mini systems that have like, so it's a little mini replica Sega Genesis, and it has like, I don't know, 50 games, 100 games, whatever, on it. And you know what? It's one of those things I know I'd get, and then it would just, I'd play it once for a little while, and then I would just put it away and never look at it again. It's nice and it's cool, but here's my thing. Why would you do a second one? Like, it's just the way they, because let's say you went out and you bought the first one they did, and now they come out with another one with another 50 or whatever games with some Sega CD games included in that kind of mix. I mean, cool. But if you're going to buy both, you have two of these little mini systems lying around, and it just seems supremely inconvenient. I don't know why they don't just do like a replica, like do a little mini Sega Genesis, right? But release cartridges, like Sega Genesis cartridge shaped things. And each one of those has a collection of like 50 games on it. You could sell it for the same price. You could sell it for like whatever. What do they want? $100? First of all, that's too much. $100 for 35-year-old video games? Just fuck off. Leave me alone. But anyway. So that way, it's like they release a little mini Sega Genesis, and it comes with a cartridge that has 50 games in it. And then when they release another one, it's another cartridge, and you can just kind of swap out the cartridges and play 50 games on each. I mean, would that be any harder? I mean, it seems kind of easy. These are ludicrously ridiculous old games that should not be a problem, but I don't know. I just don't like the idea of having different little mini consoles. I like the idea, but when you get into having a bunch of different things hooked up to a TV, or you got to, it's just stupid. It's just inconvenient and dumb. Like, they could have done this better, really. Yeah, but I'm not gonna get it. Like, they did a Nintendo Entertainment System one that I was considering getting. When that came out, because I never owned a Nintendo, and that's why I'm bald and gross, I would be really cool and handsome and wonderful and rich if my parents loved me enough to buy me a Nintendo Entertainment System. But that, let's just say that's not how they roll. So here we are, and I am excited that they threw on some Sega CD games. I think that's something. That's nice. Like, I think Sewer Shark is on there. I remember Sewer Shark, obviously. And people will say, oh yeah, Sewer Shark, the game that came with Sega CD. No. I'm old school, my friends. I remember. See, you're right. Sewer Shark did come with Sega CD. But the second version, when they changed it to like the flat kind of pancake look, where you put the Genesis on the left side and the CD was on the right side, I had the lasagna. I had the stack. The very, very, well, like when Sega CD first came out, and it came with Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective. It came with like some Jimi Hendrix video thing. It came with Soulfeast or something like that. Some kind of ship game. It the lasagna Sega CD was something entirely that, you know, that's how you know you're dealing with, let's just say, an old school person, when they have the lasagna. And I had lasagna, and so Sewer Shark, you know, cool game, kind of. I didn't understand it at all when I was young. And I would just say, okay, what is this? 0-6-9-3-6-9. What is this? Oh, I just crashed into a wall. I don't know why. what is this game on about? And here we are. Yeah, but it's cool, I guess. I'm assuming they're going to do a third Genesis mini, this time with some 32X games in there. I mean, I don't know. I just assume they're just going to try to get as much fucking nostalgia blood out of this as humanly possible. But no, I'm not going to get it. I kind of, in this age of like internet streaming emulators, whatever the fuck, is there a, besides like just a nice little showpiece and because you like official stuff, is there any reason really you're going to play it for a little bit and then just throw it away or just have it sitting there collecting dust? Meh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of sad. I'm kind of out of a video game mood. I don't know. Well, that's kind of weird because I'm going to talk about video games in a little bit. But, I don't know, man. But no, but I do love Night Trap. God damn, Night Trap is great. It's so good. I highly recommend. Go on YouTube. Type in Night Trap, the movie. We got a spare 40 minutes or so. Sit. Learn a lot about the human and inhuman condition on Night Trap. It's good for what ails you. It's fun. It's just fun. It's good. Good old-fashioned corny fun, and I think we need more of that. We need more of that in this world. Count, my friend. That is what we need. What we need, indeed. So yeah, you know, it's okay. It's all right, I guess. But the big video game news, Count, that I saw just earlier today was another trailer for Resident Evil 4. Sweet Jesus. It looks wonderful. It looks great. It looks amazing. I want it. I need it. I love it. But I hate to be the one to say it. Is it just me? And again, it's only a trailer. I don't want to judge on a trailer because it's not fair. But I think Ashley looks kind of old. Like, they gave her this preppy kind of jacket, like a Hogwarts jacket kind of thing. And, like, her little sleeveless sweater was so fucking cute. Oh, my God. And, like, her hair kind of looks like single momish a little bit. I don't know what it... She just looks... She looks like an older lady a little bit. Hopefully the situation will be remedied by the time the game comes out, which, by the way, I believe it was like March 23rd or 24th, which is a scant few days away from my birthday of March 21st, giving me another reason to live. I need all those that I can get right now. So cool. Awesome. Can't wait. That is certainly something to look forward to. Resident Evil 4. I was worried that it would be like a PlayStation exclusive or something. I don't know, but apparently it's coming out for the Series X and all that. I don't know what I'll get it for. Computer, Series X, probably Series X. It'll probably look better on computer, but I don't know what it is, man. It's just nice playing video games on a big ass screen. Video games on a computer, I can't. There's like a level of enjoyment I'm missing. There's a certain level I can't get beyond with doing stuff on computer. So I don't know. Like I've played, you know, like Fallout, tons of hours of Fallout on my old PlayStation 4, and then I started again and played on PC and went through the game on that, and it's just better on a TV. It's just better on a console. I don't know why. For me, anyway. For me. Maybe not looks-wise, performance-wise. Oh, you can't mod it. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't do any of that shit anyway, so it's not really important to me. But we'll see. Maybe I'll get both. Maybe I'll be crazy like the Colts and just get fucking both. Why not? Hey, hee-hoo. Yeah. So anyway, that's cool. Can't wait. Can't wait for the Resident Evil 4 remake. It looked wonderful. It looked awesome. And my, how I love that game. Damn, I love that white girl. And damn, I love that video game, Resident Evil 4. Remake, everybody. I just hope it doesn't disappoint like the 3 remake did. Which was okay, I guess. But I think it was just too much. They flooded the market with the remakes, I think. And 3 was kind of unnecessary. I don't really know why you would do that. I mean, unless you... I was going to say they should have started with 1 and remade them chronologically, but they're saving 1 for when they lay a big-time egg, I think. I think they have a Resident Evil 1 remake in their back pocket, and they're waiting for a game to go really, really bad. Like, they come out with a new Resident Evil, and it sucks, and everybody complains, and then they're like, oh, we're going to redo 1 next. We'll get you next time. That's probably smart, because the GameCube remake of 1 was heavenly. Like, I don't know how you can top that, and it holds up to this day graphically, like, which is tremendously impressive. But anyway, yeah. So that's that. Speaking of video games, I'm not going to go too long on this, but let me take a sip of my coffee malt right here. I finally played some sports games. And my reports on my performance, not good. Not good at all. I played NBA 2K22 and Madden 2022. And of course, if you're out there, you're saying, Dave, you fucking idiot. Why don't you get the new games for this year, man? Get to 2K23 and the Madden 23. Yeah, man, I'm not going to. No. Like, I don't know how to play any of these games. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm not going to pay $70 a pop to, with updated rosters, to still suck and not know what I'm doing. So I always buy like the cheap versions of the games. And the last year's games were pretty cheap. So I picked them up and I'm just awful at them. I'm sitting there. I don't understand what I'm doing. I'm confused. I'm looking around. I'm bewildered, dismayed. It's something to see for certain fun. But a little frustrating. I don't want to say better. Better is a relative term when it comes to Dave and sports games. But the Madden game, I can at least sort of kind of understand. The basketball game, I'm just like, I can't do this. It's, we're 2 minutes in. It's 34-3. I can't. I don't know what's going on. I'm pressing buttons. Nothing's happening. I'm fouling constantly. If the other team has the ball, I foul them immediately. It's not my fault. They have a button on the controller to take the ball away from your opponent. I want the ball. Give me the ball. Give me the rock, as the kids say. So I press the steal button and then I foul. Well, why is the button there if it's a foul? How else am I supposed to get the ball? Through skill? Whatever happened to, you know, arch rivals? The basketball game in the arcade when I was a kid. The guy with the green mohawk. You'd run around and you'd punch the other team in the face and take the ball from them. That's not legal. They have softened up the NBA since I was a kid quite significantly. I remember drop kicks, suplexes, it was all on the table. Nowadays, you fucking breathe on a guy and they call a foul on you. So I like the football game. It's fun. I use the Colts in the football game. But okay, all right. I feel kind of stupid talking about this, but I remember back in the day when things were a little easier. And the sun was a little brighter, a little warmer. And you can go in a sports game and they'd have very limited options. It would be like exhibition, Do you want to play one game? Or they'd have another option, and it would be season, where you could play a season. You pick a team, you play a season. That's nice. That's good. You know, you save your progress along the way. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You might even go all the way. You might become a champion. Those were the options I'm familiar with. Then as time progressed, we got to the create a player era, where you can make a player, put him on a team and everything like that. So I can make Dave, and I can put him on a football team, and I could actually make him be able to move around and stuff. These days, I have no idea what any of this means. There's like franchise, you could own a team and do drafts and set up ticket prices. And it's like, look, man, I don't want a job. I don't want a second job. I play video games to have fun, not to manage a goddamn sports franchise. It's not on my docket of things to do today. All I want to do is make myself in a sports game. I want to give myself 99s in every single category and then put myself on the team of my choosing and then lose spectacularly despite all my advantages. That's just kind of how I live my life. Like, there's no tomorrow, obviously. And I don't know why, but these games just will not let me do that. Like, I don't, and I know it's like, well, Dave, do the my player whatever thing, my season or what, I don't understand. And it's like, look, I don't want to cosplay. I don't want to do a storyline of my, like, just let me make my guy, give him the stats I want him to have and puke him on a team. I've done this before. I don't know why now. Like, it's, let me tell you something, guys. It's so demoralizing to me that I have to go on YouTube and look up, like, how do I make my own player and put him on a fucking team without going through a whole storyline mode? I don't want to do that. Just let me play, please. Maybe there's an option. Maybe I'm missing it. It's a distinct possibility. I'm old. My brain don't work right. I don't see things properly. So it could be there and I might not be. I might just be missing it. I looked for a season mode. For the life of me, I couldn't find it. I don't know how these games operate. It's completely over my head right now. And it's frankly a little scary. As I sit here right now contemplating my sports future, it's a little scary, Count, because I don't know what's going on. Speaking of leadership, speaking of coaching, I think I need to pay a 12-year-old to coach me how to play these games, because that's a lost cause. Can you teach me the options menu? Like, what can you just show me how to play a season? That's really all I'm looking for here. Things are complicated. The world's a complicated place. The sun's been going up and the sun's been going down for millennia, I dare say. Scientists predict that the world existed for dozens and dozens and dozens of years. The seasons change. They come and they go. The tide rises, it falls. With some kind of regularity. Yet we complicate life more and more and more each day. I'm sorry if my stomach's making weird noises. Ever since I started talking about McDonald's and hot mustard sauce, I've just been completely starving. I am like a rabid animal right now. As soon as I turn this podcast off, I'm going to start gnawing on my keyboard. God damn, I'm starving, man. I'm sitting here. I'm hugging myself. I'm hugging myself, rocking back and forth. A true Colts fan. Indecisive. Anxious. I don't know. I don't know how to do a season in a sports game. I wish you could see my face sitting in front of the television, like completely baffled, head tilted to the side. I'm flicking through all the options. I'm like, I just want to make a guy. How do I make a guy? Why isn't there a clear cut, create a player thing? I can't, and I don't want to do the, you know, start from college and be drafted and have like voiceovers. Just let me make a fucking guy and throw him on a team and play. I just want to, may I please play your game? I'd like that. I'd like that a lot. Because I see a lot of numbers, I see a lot of words that I have zero idea what they mean. Can somebody just put a ball in my hand and let me throw it on the floor? That's all I want. That's really all I want. And I remember the last game, I did this last time where I made myself. It was hysterical. I put myself in a basketball game. And I gave myself 99s and everything so I could know what it would be like to be coordinated for a little bit. And I just threw myself on it. I think I had to look up videos on how to do that, too, because even 8 years ago, this process just blew my mind. But, you know, I'll get there. I'll get there eventually. So look, man, that's how I'm going to spend my day, probably. I'm probably going to give up. I'm probably going to watch some videos on how to do this. And there's going to be like an 11-year-old doing it and teaching me. And I'm just going to be lost. I'm going to be staring at the screen, one eye closed and twitching, and the other one just glazed over as I'm staring. My stomach's going to be growling. I'm going to want hot mustard sauce just smeared all over a bagel or a donut or something, anything. Just take me away from this place. Just take me away. Just take me. Take me. Take me. I'm yours. But yes. So that's where we're at. That's where we're at in life. Unfortunately. And I keep thinking like, hey, I am gonna get that Game Pass thing. Eventually. But I get overwhelmed very, very easily. And if I have an enormous fucking option of games to play, I'll probably just start crying. I'll just start crying and sit in a corner and rock back and forth like mankind, as one does when they root for the Indianapolis Colts, because we all are nuts. See? So there's a lot on my mind right now. You know, Resident Evil 4 coming up. That's great. I'm impatient. I'm normally not one for waiting for anything, but this is good. This is good because it's something on the far horizon that I can look forward to, but it's not too far. And the way this, oh my God, I'm telling you, man, these last few years have just been flying by. It's crazy. I can't believe it. We're already mid-November, almost-ish-ly. Thanksgiving is what? 10, 11 days away? That's nuts. How about that? How nuts is that? God, I hate the holiday season. Jesus Christ, do I hate the holidays. It's brutal. I'm sorry. I feel grumpy. I feel very grumpy today. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm like a baby. I'm feeling like a very ill-tempered baby. You know the aborted baby in Resident Evil 8? I'm feeling that. That's kind of my mood. If I could have an emoji for the aborted baby fetus monster in Resident Evil 8, that would be it. That would be it.
Dave, one question real quick. What games, if any, would make you buy a Sega Genesis mini console?
Let's see. I don't know, man. Shocken the Forever Man. How about that? And Sword of Soden. Yeah. Then I'm listening. They might even be on there. I honestly don't know. I just know kind of the heavy hitters, and Night Trap was one of the things that I sound like a kitten mewling for a second. I don't know. Well, I just don't see the big deal. It's like, oh, guess what? They have Night Trap. They have some Sega CD games on this. Oh, great. Like, am I supposed to be wowed that they managed to cram a 4 megabyte, I don't know, computer terms. You know, am I supposed to be impressed that instead of putting, instead of putting 40-year-old technology, instead of reselling me 40-year-old technology, they're now selling me 30-year-old technology. Like, what? No, I don't care. I'm surprised they don't sell a mini Sega Genesis with every single game that's ever been released for the console. Like, we can't do that now? Really? No hover cars. Nothing going on the Martian front. And we can't even put every single Sega Genesis game on one fucking thing in 2022? Really? But porn's free, so I mean, you take the good, you take the bad, I suppose. But yeah, call me Shania, because that don't impress me much. Oh, look, guys, we managed to fit 50 games from 1986 on one machine. Are you amazed? Like, no. That's actually pretty. And how much do you want for it? $100? Fuck right off. You're gonna have to do a little better than that. I don't know. I don't think it's that impressive. I honestly don't. I don't know how like the Nintendo didn't the Nintendo one, the Nintendo, the mini Nintendo, the mini NES, didn't that only have 50 games on it? Really? Just fit. Okay, you know, I don't care enough to look it up. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Sue me. But that's kind of bullshit, isn't it? We really can't fit an entire. This is Genesis, guys. I could make Sega Genesis games on a fucking Texas Instruments calculator, for crying out loud. And you can only give me 50 at a time? Fuck off. For $100? Should I already had 30 years ago? No, get lost. No, I'm angry. God, I'm angry. Yeah, man. So it's kind of, I don't know. But to answer you seriously, I don't know. What game for Sega, like for Genesis, what games would make me, I don't, they're probably already on there somewhere. I don't know. I remember Strider was pretty cool. You do that jump where you kind of look real neat and like jump this acrobatic kind of flippity flop cartwheel kind of jump. I remember, I think my brother got it for his birthday one year. I was so jealous. NBA Jam was fun, obviously. That I can do. I can figure out the options menu in NBA Jam, you know, half the time anyway. Tommy Lasorda Baseball. Good shit. I like me some of that. That was pretty good. The Spider-Man game made me very anxious and very nervous, because they had this cool mechanic where in the Spider-Man game for Sega Genesis, where the Kingpin, he had a bomb or something, and it was going to blow up in 24 hours. And Spider-Man had to find it, right? And he had to disarm the bomb in 24 hours or it would go off. And I love this for multiple reasons. I never even really thought about this, but from a storytelling perspective, this is the kind of shit I love. It might sound weird. Like, that's the premise of the game. The Kingpin made a bomb that's going to go off in 24 hours and you got to find it and stop it. Like, okay, so the bomb blows up. What does it do? Kill the city? Like, no, it's a bomb. What is it, going to blow up a building or something? A bank, maybe? But again, I think superhero stories work best on smaller, you know, the stakes are a little smaller. You don't want a bomb going off in your neighborhood. That's not good. Somebody could get hurt. Maybe a dog will get ripped in half or something. That's no good. You like dogs, don't you? But now, with the storytelling, it's like, oh, the Avengers save the world in their first movie. What's next? Oh, well, the Infinity whatever. They save reality. Well, okay, what's next? They save Jesus. Like, there's just nowhere else to go. But if you make the stakes small, right? Oh, so-and-so's robbing a bank. We gotta stop him. Brr. Oh, Kingpin had his bomb. We gotta stop it. Brr. Like, it's just better. You have more room to grow, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, it makes it less nefarious, I guess. Like, Kingpin, you scamp. You're gonna do some property damage. You might have hurt somebody. You're so bad. It's charming, almost. But anyway, so you had 24 hours, and there was like a count. There was like a timer on the screen or whatever, and you had like your health bar and you had your web fluid bar, right? Because Spider-Man can't shoot webs, because Spider-Man sucks. See, I mean, I know in some of the movies he can shoot webs naturally, like, oh, I don't know, a spider, but. If we're taking this legit from the comics, Spider-Man can't shoot webs. He got bit by a radioactive spider. He can crawl up walls. He has his fucking spidey sense or whatever the fuck, but he can't shoot webs. He had to make those. He had to make those web shooter thingies. And he uses this like web fluid and he can run out. A spider can run out of the one thing a spider is supposed to do, apparently. Spider-Man sucks. But anyway. So you have a web fluid meter, and the more you use your webs, it goes down and down and down and down and down. Now, you can recharge your health, and you could recharge your web fluid, but they did it in such a clever way, I thought. It's not like you're going through the stage, and you get like a power-up or something, and your web bar fills up. No. You can go to your apartment and kind of pace around back and forth, and your life will come back and your web bar will come back. I don't know if your life came back. Maybe. I don't remember. But your web fluid can recharge. But it takes time. So like you're pacing around. And it actually shows Spider-Man pacing around his apartment or whatever back and forth. Which makes me so nervous. And then you see the clock and it's going really, really fast as your web bar fills up. So yes, you can recharge your stuff when you want. But it does cost you time. And the more time you waste, the closer and closer the Kingpin is to succeeding at his master plan of blowing up a barbershop somewhere. I don't know. Yes. I don't know. I thought it was a neat little mechanic. And it used to stress me the fuck out when I was a kid. Just seeing the time go down really, really super fast. I'm pacing around my... Even just the visual of a superhero pacing back and forth. Like, fuck, 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 fuck. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Such an anxious little boy. But yeah, it was a pretty cool game. I remember Sandman. You had to, like, get him wet. You beat Sandman with a... It's a fire hydrant. And that's not very exciting, I guess. But at the time, my mind was blown. I was like, oh my God, this is so realistic. This is the most realistic fucking Spider-Man game I think I've ever played. Kudos to the developers for all of these things. But yeah, I don't know, Sword of Soden was brutally awful. It was a terrible fucking Sega Genesis game. I tried to convince myself to like it, but that's what you do when you rent video games when you're young and you make really bad choices. You become filled with regret and anger after a while, and you play games like Sword of Soden, and you try your very, 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 very best to look on the bright side, and oftentimes that fails. Because Sword of Soden was a heart attack in a cartridge, is what it was. And it sucked quite a bit. But there was one funny part in Sword of Soden, I remember. they had like a potion mechanic where you would pick up potions along the way and then you could mix them. You could take two potions and mix them together and that would make something else. And then you could drink that potion, right? And I think it was random or whatnot, or you, the instructions didn't tell you what mixing certain things would do. So you kind of had to feel it out for yourself, I guess. And I remember one time I mixed a couple of potions and I drank it and I died. My guy died immediately after drinking this potion. And then on the screen, it said, I shit you not, winners don't use drugs. I think that's genius. That's something Dave would put in a video game where you could make illegal drugs and overdose in Sword of Soden. But if you've played Sword of Soden, a drug overdose, possibly preferable.